I was talking about Jenny, the tape ended, so we have switched tapes now. And Junior just said to me, he said, you've been talking about my weight the last two times I've been up here. And he had on white at the time, and he had a belly. And I said something about it, are you gaining? And he didn't know. But since then, he's weighed, and he weighed 190?
192. That's what I weighed at the doctor's the last time, but the doctor could tell me I was doing good.
He did?
Yeah, I'm in good shape.
Okay, he's in good shape. He went to the doctor and he weighed 192 on the doctor's scales too. So, but anyhow, he's walking now. And he's walking through the woods. He hates street walking, so he's walking 5 miles a day. Do you walk 5 miles and then come back 5 miles?
No, it's a total of 5 miles.
Total of 5 miles. So he's getting some exercise now. And I was talking about Jennifer when the tape ended. And she married, what was his name?
His name is Fowler.
Oh yeah, his name is Fowler. And at the time, the Fowlers were wealthy. And I don't know where she works now. I don't see her like I see Junior and sometimes Christy. But I know that Sue brought him to my church one time, not to worship, but we were meeting there for something, and I saw him, and they were teenagers. So she's got teenagers now, and she has a good job. And they're doing well. Of course, Christy, I don't know, everybody probably knows this, but Christy is really wealthy. She and her husband both. And they work for?
Oil companies.
Oil companies, yeah. And Junior had to help me on that. But I've seen her house, you know, like 4 to 6 bedrooms and baths and everything. They just sold one of them and bought another one, and they live out around Tomball now or somewhere out there, Magnolia. But they work in Houston. So that was part of Junior's life that I was talking about. I remember his third wife. I remember her name, but I don't remember her. Her name was Kelly.
Kelly Sutherland.
Yeah, she was Kelly. So he has Erica now, and it seems that it's real good. She had to have surgery recently, and she gave all of us a scare because they thought that she had cancer of the cervix. She had a growth in her uterus, and it turned out to be a fibroid tumor, and it was really big. And so we were all pleased when she didn't have cancer of the cervix, but that it was a fibroid tumor and not some other kind of tumor. Junior said today that she has started back to work. They're getting ready for a show the 1st of February, and so he's been real busy with his fountains and part of the things for her. She makes so many things. She is an artist. She has so many talents. And they have been married for 20 years?
15.
Oh, I thought it was 20.
We've been dating for 20 years.
Been dating 20 years.
Yeah. And all my exes still live in Texas.
And he says all my exes still live in Texas.
As far as I know.
You heard that? That's funny.
That's a song.
I know.
Oh, okay.
All my exes live in Texas. And the other night, last Saturday night, that song just brought up some other memories, and I need to tell them. I just fell in love with country music. I was watching FDR, and they had country music on, and these were people that I had never heard of, but had just as much talent as the ones we hear all the time. They all did have CDs, and they sold them whenever they performed. But I fell in love with the instruments, especially the violin. I used to play one, but it never sounded anything like these violins. And you can call them violins, you don't have to call them fiddles. Because whenever I was playing one, it was called a fiddle. And that's the difference. And it was just beautiful music. I sat right here and watched it and listened to it till 12 o'clock at night. I just fell in love with it again. And I wish I could play. I can't hardly play the piano, much less anything else.
Well, now, weren't your roots sort of like bluegrass a little bit?
Bluegrass, they were doing bluegrass. And of course the harmony in bluegrass, it's just a little more country, that's all. But I will listen to it, I've been stuck on gospel music all my life. Something I remembered that I need to tell you, whenever we had a Hayes Quartet, I can't remember what music we used or if we sang a cappella. I cannot remember it. And I haven't talked to any of my sisters. But whatever kind of music Clayton just said, I can't remember.
Country Western?
No.
Bluegrass.
Bluegrass. Yeah. Bluegrass was country music then. And I liked it. And once when I thought of this, and I'll tell it, once when me and Clayton were living in Kingsville, Texas, when he was stationed down there, we went to see Clarence Cedo and his wife. And Clarence Cedo was my mother's baby brother. And I sang and played the guitar, till midnight, I guess. And I'm wondering how in the world, without playing a guitar all these months, that I had corns on my fingers that would allow me to play a guitar. But I knew all of those songs because I had a radio for the first time in my life when me and Clayton went to the city. And I had a radio and I learned all the songs over and over and over, and all the 40 songs, I know them. Wished I could sing them, but I can't. But anyhow, I'm back to Clayton Jr. on my tape. And he comes to see me every week. And he brought me, I wish I could remember everything he's brought me. What kind of radio is that?
That's a CD player. Oh, it was a satellite radio.
Satellite radio, yeah. Yes. And the recorders, and he brings me something every time he comes. He is a good son, I tell you. And right now, I can't think of anything else to say. Yeah. I will later, but right now, I'm run out.
Now I want us to talk about the Bell family gospel singers. I don't know if we've actually covered much of this, but let's go from the very beginning.
We haven't covered any of it yet.
Okay. Let's go from the very first time you sang was probably without Daddy and without me.
Oh, yes.
And where was that? Was that singing or something all night thing?
Me and Mary and Glenda could make a perfect trio. And we sang nearly everything. But then people got to asking us to go to conventions and do shows as a trio, and we did. And Clayton would take us. And then, remember, Clayton has a talent too. He can sing too. And so Glenda decided to teach him how to sing bass. And
What can you remember about that first time y'all sang? Do you remember it?
I can't remember the first time we sang, but we did sing a lot, and Mary was just 10 years old or younger.
Seems like it was told, I think that Glenda told, that it was an all-night singing, like on New Year's night.
Oh, yeah.
Was that it? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, and we started singing at a little church between here and Gatesville.
Was that Cold Springs?
Cold Springs.
Yeah.
Baptist Church.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Was that where they had a big fire out
yeah.
in the yard? I remember being there, and what I loved the fire.
Yeah, it went on
all night.
It stayed all night,
mm-hmm.
and there was a fire burning outside, and they just was all around that church and in that church and everywhere. And the Baptists really loved gospel music. And they were everywhere. All these Baptists were everywhere. And they had a piano.
Those nights, was there a bunch of kids there?
Yes.
And tell about everything you can remember about
that.
Oh,
me. This is just starting me.
Well, it wasn't a real fancy place, was it?
No, it was a wooden church. And but the pews were, when we were there, everybody knew that the Bell family was going to be there on New Year's night, all night long. It was supposed to go all night. So everybody in Coryell County and Bell County showed up, and they would fill the church, and then that some of them would go home and some more would come in. And I wish I could remember everything, but I can't. He can remember. Even him as a little boy can remember.
Well, that's all I remember, though.
That the fire did go on. Wasn't there a pot of beans or something?
Probably. There was probably food there.
Yeah, there was probably food all night, the way they celebrated. And then the Bell family did some concerts on the back of a long truck bed. We did a concert at Gatesville with the Wills family. And from that happened, the Wills family was from... No, they were from up there close, the place between between Dallas and Fort Worth. Arlington. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, I didn't understand him. Yeah, they were from Arlington, and they had a music store, and they had a quartet, and they were with us that night, and then, which eventually led to us going on their label, our first record, our first long play album,
Sword and Shield.
He's remembering more than I am tonight, today. I don't know why I didn't get on to that. But I would have missed another night of remembering if I'd have got started. Because once I go to bed at night, I try to remember all the things that happened.
Now, those weren't our first records. The first record was the Black Label 45, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it had Acres of Diamonds on it.
What a Day That Will Be.
What a Day That Will Be. Was Happy Rhythm on it?
No, that wasn't on it. That was later on,
okay.
On another one.
Now, do you remember anything about recording that?
Oh, yes.
Okay, tell about that, because I wasn't singing yet.
A man heard us sing, and he said, I want to record it. I want to put it on record. and I've got the perfect place for you to sing in my house, and it's in my garage. And there's an old upright piano in there. So that's what we did. We sang in his garage, and it's on record. It's on a 45. And like he said, it was Acres of Diamonds, and it was What a Day That Will Be. And I can't remember the other two. But there was four songs.
Teach Me Along the Way.
I don't think we knew that then.
We can always look at the album covers and tell what all was on there. But it was in a garage. And did Daddy make a deal with this guy or something? Or did you know anything about that?
I don't know about any deals that Clayton made because he did everything and he just took care of us, that's all. But I thought of something right before while Junior was talking, and I've already lost my train of thought. We did make another 45 after that.
And where was that?
In Houston. We knew we were going to be singing in the Houston area, so we just walked into a studio and got up there and sang. Oh yes, and while we were at Waco, we sang for Word Record. And they wanted us, but they wanted just the children. They didn't want the adults. So Clayton didn't make a deal with them. But it was supposed to be a child's record, children's record, which we didn't do. And the second one time, when we were in the Houston area, we recorded A Happy Rhythm and Little Joe's Prayer. That was on the record. I don't have them in front of me and I can't remember them. But there was another side. There was four songs on each record. And Mary was about 10 years old then, maybe 11 by that time. And Glenda was 3 years older. Glenda sang high tenor, Mary sang lead. And even when we made our records, we recorded, one of them was RCA Custom. And I don't know which one it was, but Mary was still doing lead. And Glenda was singing tenor. And we were there, that's all. We made a quartet. Me and Daddy made a quartet. And then we got to go to singing conventions.
Now this is an area where a lot of people who listen to this are not gonna know what a singing convention is. So you could share what was a singing convention?
A singing convention was where all the singers gathered together at that place. It was called Dinner on the Ground. And we sight read the songs. And the songs were usually stamp songs or Stamps Baxter songs. They were written in, I can't even remember now what, I shouldn't be taping today.
Shape notes.
And a brand new song. Someone could get up and lead a brand new song in the whole congregation. Maybe 400 or 500. There would be people from everywhere. They'd come out of all those sticks in East Texas. And it was, we ate all day if we wanted to because people would come in, they would use, the community would furnish the lunch. And that was Dennis called Dinner on the Ground. Sometimes it was even catered. But I think I've said this before, but that's when we met the Happy Goodman family. And they went on to be somebody. And we quit. We sang for 10 years, and we quit because I got sick and I couldn't make the trips. It was hard on, too hard on me. And but there was another trio, and they were called the McGinnises, and they would try to run the whole thing, and they wanted to be in front of the crowd all the time. They had one son named Donnie.
McGinty.
McGinty? Was
yes.
It McGinty? Okay, McGinty.
Yeah, I remember him.
Well, there was one woman and a man and their son. And the man was punchy fat, but he didn't mind. And she was tall and wore a lot of makeup, and she was redheaded. I don't know if it was dyed or whether she was really redheaded. But sometimes when the Bell family should have been singing, they were up front putting on their show. They could sing louder than anybody else. And they wanted to be the show. They couldn't take it from the Happy Goodmans, but they tried. And then we went on to, we made our first album with Sword and Shield at Arlington.
That was Let Me Tell You About Jesus.
Yeah, that was Let Me Tell You About yeah. Jesus. And you can tell that Mary is a little bitty girl there. And the song started, the first one was, can't remember it. I shouldn't be talking today. I think I'll quit. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
You having a hard time with it?
I said I was through, but I wanted Clayton Jr. to put Little Joe's Prayer that he sang when he was either 11 or 12. And it's on the record. I don't know which record it's on. You looked at it, Junior. What's the name?
I think that's on one of the 45s.
Oh.
But it's on this CD, He Set Me Free.
Yes,
CD.
Okay, it's on one of them, He Set Me Free, and then it may be on a 45 also. So you're going to hear Junior sing when he was either 11 or 12. I thought he was 12. He thinks he was 11.
Way.
Okay, today is, what's the day? Today's day?
It's the 26th, and it's a...
26th of January, 2012.
And it's in the afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And me and Junior have been gabbing about everything, but we need to get to this taping. And I'm not through talking about him, but he doesn't want any more on there about himself. But I've got to go back, and I've got to tell some things that need to be told.
Yeah, what was that saying? You were going to say, this is a big deal about the, whenever you was a kid and the Thrashers.
Well, that comes after I get through with Glenda and Mary. I forgot to tell some things about Glenda and Mary, and they would be hurt if I didn't tell it.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
But Glenda, I don't think I put this on tape. If I did, just skip it. But Glenda was in a show in L.A., and I went out there to hear her when she opened out there. And she was in a show called Beach Blanket Babylon Goes Bananas. And I think it ran 2 years. So I heard her sing then, and...
Daddy went with you, didn't he?
No.
Oh, he didn't?
Nope. I was flying all everywhere by myself.
Everywhere, huh? Okay.
Yeah. And I forgot this about Mary. Mary sang with the Houston Symphony, and she always... Houston Symphony Orchestra, and she also made Miss Who's Who of the World. She's in the World Book of Music, and she made a Miss Who's Who. And that was what I forgot to tell about Mary. And then Junior doesn't want any more said about him, but I could talk about him too, things that he did. But he sang a song for you then. I think he was 11 years old then, but he's on record.
Oh, yeah, I'm on record plenty of times.
Yes.
There's a lot of court records on me.
Oh.
Yeah, let's just say this. All my exes live in Texas.
Okay. Isn't that funny? All his exes live in Texas. I wanted to tell something else that needs to be told of when I was a little girl. And it goes way back to the first number one tape. When I was a little girl, my daddy also grew wheat and oats. Oats for the horses and the haystack was wheat and oats for the harvesters. And we kept the seed, and that was planted the next year. But anyhow, it was Thrasher Day. Thrasher Day was a big day. The big thrasher came out that went to all the places that were raising wheat and oats.
What's a thrasher?
A thrasher separates the seed from the straw.
So that's where the saying came, separate the wheat from the chaff?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but that's the job of the thrasher. And he took, I don't know how he got the thrasher out there, a team of horses, I suppose. It was a big thing. I'm going to show one to Junior today, maybe. But anyhow, all the neighbors knew that the thrasher was at Luther Hayes's and was coming their direction. And if they needed to help, they would. But the thrasher, what was so good about it was the chuck wagon. And they had two cooks in the chuck wagon. And they laid out the sides of it, and they made the seats from all the thrasher hands. They took their crew with them, the thrasher hands crew. And we could smell the food cooking, and we knew that they were cooking good, and I think we even got some of it. But and if there wasn't enough thrasher hands to bring all of the, before the thrasher could come, it had to be cut with a reaper. It had to be shocked. Shocked is standing there oats and wheat on it on the cut end and making a shock, what was called a shock. And that kept it off of the ground and kept it from getting wet so that the thrasher could thrash it whenever he came. And but the neighbors, if there wasn't enough wagons to pick up all of the shocked wheat and oats that we had done as kids, we shocked it. We shocked the wheat and oats. Then people would bring their team of horses and they would go out in the field and get the wheat and oats and take it to the thrasher.
And to you're talking about shocking. That means tying it in a bundle.
Well, whenever the reaper tied it in a bundle.
Okay.
The reaper tied it in a bundle, and we had to pick up the bundles and stack it to where it wouldn't get wet, or where if it got wet, it would get dry easy. And there was just a lot to it, but it was Thrasher Day, and we got to see the cooks, and that cooked. They cooked with wood, and it was in a wagon, and it was called the chuck wagon. You may hear a lot about the chuck wagon whenever you start delving in used to be. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So, and now Junior wants me to talk about what?
Oh, there was a story that I'm not sure that we taped. And it was back, I believe, when y'all were in Kingsville, and when we went, the actual wedding, when you and Daddy got married.
Yeah.
If we've already done it, well, let's just do it again, because I'm afraid it's not on there, and this is a really neat story.
Well, it's on there already. Mr. Bell wouldn't let Clayton marry me because he was underage. He joined the Navy when he was 17, and anyhow, I went to Kingsville to marry him, and they wouldn't give him a marriage license. So a friend of ours got the license and used Clayton's name. And he got the license, and he stood up with us when we married. But in the meantime, we had to get, it was the 22nd of December, and it was almost time for Christmas. And so we wanted to get married before Christmas. So we were walking home on a Wednesday night, because we walked everywhere, and we had been to a movie or something. And they were having church at the First Baptist Church there. So we just walked down the aisle and told them we wanted to get married. So the preacher...
Was that a big deal? Was that a big shock to everybody that was there?
Yes, it was funny.
Okay.
It was funny. Everybody laughed, and they took us to a little room, probably a classroom, and we got married. And the guy that got the license, I wish we'd have had a camera, but we didn't even have a camera. He was sitting there grinning like a possum because he was so glad that he was part of the wedding party. But let's see, there was something else. Oh, and we slept in their room. They had a room at the hotel where I work. And so we slept on a mattress, and they slept in the bed. But that was our first night. After that, we found another room. Okay. Junior wants me to tell about 17th Street, so when we moved to 17th Street, but that was before I start, what happened there was that it was a three-way deal. Whenever we sold our place on 57th Street, we sold it to a lady, and she wanted another house from somewhere else. So it was a three-way, the Remax or Colwell County, Colwell County real estate. Somebody arranged it all, and we moved to 17th Street in Temple, because Mary couldn't ride the school bus from out on 57th.
Why not?
Mary had nephritis, and that is a disease that's incurable. But she got well. She has always, she doesn't have a kidney problem. The nephritis was a kidney problem, but she doesn't have one now, but she has heart trouble, and she has had gallbladder surgery, but she's all right now. She taught 35 years, and she is doing okay now, and she has to take me everywhere I go, and to get groceries, and to pick up my money, my medicine, and everything. But anyhow, when we moved to 57th Street in Temple, we didn't have a piano. So my daddy loaded up the piano that Uncle Eston had given us out on the Petticoat Road. I don't know how he loaded it, but he got it. It's real heavy. And he got it on a trailer and brought it to us at 57th Street. And that's when we started singing. Me and Mary and Glenda had been singing some.
Now, you're talking about, wait a minute, I'm not trying to correct you, but...
Okay.
You said 57th Street.
Yeah.
Don't you mean 17th Street?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so
I mean
so
17th Street, not 57th Street.
Right. So he brought the piano that Uncle Eston gave us to 17th Street.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, well, if with his help, I'll get through this. But we started singing then, and me and Mary and Glenda had been singing at a few of the churches and singing conventions around there. And Clayton wasn't singing then.
Was he? Did he go with you?
He took us.
He took you.
He took us, and we kept getting invitations to go places. And so Glenda thought she should teach Clayton how to sing bass, so we could be a quartet. And so she taught him the notes.
Now she wasn't very old here.
No, she was like
probably 12.
No, she was. Ooh. She was probably 14, maybe. But
okay.
She taught him the notes.
She did?
Yeah. And I played him on the piano, and he learned how to sing bass. Daddy sang bass, Mama sang tenor. And then we got to get invitations as the Bell family. And that's where we started. Glenda and Mary both knew harmony when they heard it, and they loved it. So we sang harmony, and we started going places. And then people wanted records, so we made records. And we made 3 long play albums and 2 45s.
And we've talked about those.
And we have talked about those, he said,
yeah.
So he remembers.
Yeah.
So he remembers that we talked about those. And then I got sick in 1964. He wants this on tape. I don't care about talking about it, but I got sick in 1964. And I had what they called then, cut it off, I can't think. I had lymphosarcoma, which nowadays is lymphoma. And I had 4,000 units of cobalt at Scott & White. And they gave me like 2 years to live. And so we finished up all of our singing and sold all of our records and everything because I was going to have to die in at least 66. And here I am, 87, and I'm still here. The cancer went away, and I started to work. And I sold, I was the first Tupperware dealer in that ever was in the 50s. I was an Avon lady. I worked in a hardware store, and I also worked at a meat packing company. And I bought a new piano, And I don't know what went with the old one. I'd like to know, because I liked it. I have no idea where it is now. And since then, Uncle Eston has passed away, but he wanted to play for us so bad. And it just took more energy than he had. And he had no showmanship at all. And we did get a piano player. And he's on our records. And his name was Wendell Sandell. And he weighed about, I don't know how much he weighed.
About 250.
250?
Yeah, I think so.
He was pretty big, so everybody called him Tiny.
And he wore red socks.
Oh, and he wore red socks. I didn't know that.
Well, no, a lot of time it was a big show deal with him.
He was a showman.
Yeah, he'd pull those breeches up so his red socks would show, and he'd stomp that foot so everybody could see. It was a big show. But he was a showman. Well, we all were.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, piano players had a certain way of showing off, and vocalists had another way of showing off,
yeah.
And we all showed off. That was the way we did it.
Well, anyhow, and then after the Bell family quit singing, Clayton and I started singing in nursing homes. And we published a book for nursing homes, and it was for, what was the name of it, Junior?
I don't know.
Singing in the 50s or something like that. And we were singing in 24 nursing homes at the time. And so we made four editions of the books that we sang. It had a golden cover on it, and just the words were in the book of 62 songs of the old songs that all of the old people knew the tune, but they didn't have the words. And our words were a quarter of an inch big so that they could put it on their lap and they could sing. And we did four orders of those. And even when I'm gone, I hope the church took over what me and Clayton had started. And so I'm hoping that after I'm gone, I've told Mary that when we get calls for new books, because the old folks did tear them up and they tore pages out too. You just went with the flow. And I even sang in 2010. I was a patient in the nursing home at Indian Oaks, and I did a sing-along and played the piano, and they sang with me. The old folks came out and sang with me, and they really enjoyed it. So right after that, I got to go home. If I could do that, I could go home. So that's what I did. And that's all is pending. If they get letters, if the church gets letters that they want new books, well, there's about, I can't tell you how many nursing homes now, because I didn't keep a record. But we sang from Lampasas to, that was south, and north was Waco and China Springs and other places, Moody, places out that way, and we sang as far south as San Antone, and east as far as Taylor, but that's our route.
And y'all didn't just sing gospel songs. Y'all had one song that you always sang.
Oh yeah,
I forgot about that. I'm just wondering, do you feel like playing and singing it today?
Playing it.
Playing and singing in the Little Red Schoolhouse.
Yeah, we've got to have that Little Red Schoolhouse
on
there.
You want to try it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go over there. Let's try it.
Well, I found a key that I think we sang it in, and Clayton sang the soprano, and I harmonized with him. And I don't know how this is going to get.
And what's the name of this song?
In the Little Red Schoolhouse.
Okay, hit it.
And the old folks loved it.
All right.
When I was a kid, gee, how I hated that little place where I was educated. I didn't know I was lucky then, but gee, I wish I'd back again in the Little Red Schoolhouse with my book and slate. The 4 o'clock bell, all of us turn, we jump and yell, oh gee, I wanna be back in that little red schoolhouse. And then I would sing.
And then I'll turn it over.
I think we've done the other side.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm not for sure.
Okay.
Try it, see?